Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, again, we're so thankful to have the opportunity to have Brother Tim Carpenter come and be able to be an encouragement to us. And we've talked a lot about the print shop and just trying to emphasize that God can use anyone. As he's explained in his testimony, he was an introverted child who would just be glad just for no one to talk to him, leave him alone. And yet God's placed him in a place where he wasn't planning on speaking. Hey, I could work on machines. I could do this for the Lord. Well, you know, you could do things for the Lord. You say, I'm not a great orator. You know, I don't even know what that word means. But whatever it is, I can't do that. But you could pass out a John and Romans. Can you leave it in someone's door? How about putting together the Bible? Can you go and do that? You don't even have to be a great speaker. You could just be able to put things together. There is opportunity for each and every one of us to do something for the Lord. And as we start doing for the Lord's, He may show us to do bring us to do things that we didn't even know we could do yet. For example,
amen.
Open up the Word of God and be an encouragement. Now, we've talked a lot about the print shop. We've talked a lot about the bearing precious seed. But we're looking forward to this time of opening up God's Word and hearing what God's Word has to say about the matter. So, preacher, open up God's Word. Be a blessing to us.
Thank you. All right. There's a saying I was thinking about as Pastor was talking about being involved in different things. You know, sometimes we can get excited about one particular aspect or another of ministry. But the saying is, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And we need to make sure that we're involved in our church and doing the different things as God leads us along, not just looking for the next time that we're going to come down to the print shop. Or the next time there's some big event going on, but being that bright light right where you're at. This morning I talked about in Sunday school bearing precious seed, and we looked at the seed as the Word of God, and then we looked at God's Word changes lives, and we talked about how God's Word is powerful and God's Word is precious. We talked about how God's Word is practical. And tonight I want to talk about just a simple thought, and I won't be long. I know we took some time with questions and answers and all that, but I want to talk about the simple thought when we're talking about God's Word in being the seed, and hopefully this thought will stick with you, the word sow, S-O, and then the word S-O-W, sow, 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 sow. Sometimes as I preach or sometimes as I hear people preach, they get all done and you go, okay, what do you want me to do? I want you to sow, 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 sow. Find a way to sow God's Word in your life and other life. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm not going to take the time tonight to read through the whole passage, but I would challenge you to take some time. Again, I mentioned this morning, I like Timothy. I would say take some time to study your word, study the Bible, study this passage in particular. And let me say this, as you read your Bible, I know that sometimes things come up and you can't be as faithful as you should be. Don't let Satan discourage you. Hey, maybe last week you only read your Bible 3 or 4 times. And Satan says, see, you can't do it. It's 3 or 4 times than maybe you did the last week. Satan wants you to focus on the negative. What you'll find is if you read it 3 or 4 times last week, and you read it 3 or 4 times this week, and the next week you read it 5 times, the next week you read it 6 times, or the next time you read it a few extra minutes, you'll grow. Amen. Let me challenge you with that. Sometimes those of us that preach, your pastor, others, we talk about this stuff, and it's second nature to us because we were raised that way, we've got the discipline or whatever. But spend that time. The other thing I want to challenge you with, we have a Bible reading schedule for our church, and it's a great schedule. But don't ever be afraid to get lost in a passage of Scripture. Hey, I'm trying to read through my Bible in a year. I think that's a great goal. But this is one of those passages that I've come back to many times, and I looked over many times, and I studied and let God work on me many times through this passage. And it says this, Paul writing to Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." I don't know. I don't want to say this in a discouraging way, but we're in the last days. Perilous times are here. Here's how I can say: men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. It just seems like in the last year, so anybody that's tried to say anything that's worth any value of good, people knock them down. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Our society loves pleasure. Having a form of godliness. Hey, a lot of people went to church today. Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's the term? I just don't get the vibe. It doesn't make me feel good. They might have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. It says, from such, turn away. Listen, there's guys on TV that they're really good speakers. They got nice smiles. From such, turn away. For of this, and I'm not saying everybody that preaches on the radio is a bad person. We're live streaming right now, right? I mean, we have stuff on our website you can go to. I'm for those things. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I want to look at this first. The first thought would be the perilous times or the peril of the apostasy that we're in presently, and the thought that we can go along maybe with our theme that we have about the Word of God is, let the Word of God do the work of God. Okay? There's a lot of things out there that are biting to tell us what to do and how to do them, but we need to let the Word of God work in our hearts. Does that mean that you can't ever get something from somebody that's not a help? And I would say, yes, I read something recently, and it's not in the Bible, and I don't know exactly what I think of it, but I reposted it to Facebook, and it says you can't take anything with you, but you can send it on ahead. And it's the idea that what we do for Christ is what counts. So there's some things we can glean from there, but we need to be focused on the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God do the work of God, especially in these apostate times. I like the saying of we can trust but verify. Hey, somebody says something. Why were the Bereans were considered more noble? Why? Do you know when the Bible says they were more noble because they... Right. They search the scriptures to see whether these things would be so. Right? Who are they checking up on? They were checking up on Paul. What does the Bible say? It's okay for us to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And to check the scriptures. That's sometimes people attack pastors or people that are preaching just to attack them. That's not what that's talking about at all. In verse 8, Paul names some of the apostates. You know, I don't know if we should call guys out from the pulpit. I don't know if we should. Paul did it. I don't think we should be mean-spirited about it. But he called them out. Let the Word of God do the work of God. In verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We don't really understand that in the U.S., because the worst that we get is somebody maybe making fun of us, maybe cussing at us. I mean, we're talking about Iran, and when we compare our Christianity to their Christianity, I'm not worried about somebody coming in the back door right now and grabbing my Bible and tearing it up and beating me on the way out the door. I'm just not worried about that. I guess it could possibly happen, and that guy's going to be in a lot of trouble, whoever he is, if they do that. But we're going to suffer persecution, the Bible says. And my second thought is simply this. There's going to be the persecution of the time, and we have to be ready for that, to stand for righteousness and holiness and godliness. And it's a weird thing, because in the U.S. we get some, and I'm a little careful to use this word, but that psychological, because we're so connected to media and stuff. And it's funny, I'll watch pastor friends of mine make bold statements on the internet that are true. And then people that you've never heard of all of a sudden attack him, and all of a sudden he's got 400 people attacking him, and you're like, why weren't you saying amen when he put a Bible verse on there? I mean, it's okay to disagree with him, but now all of a sudden you're the resident theologian on Facebook? But there will be persecution when we stand for righteousness and holiness and godliness. But this is where I'm trying to get to. So far, everything we've talked about has been more, perilous times and persecution and so on. But if we follow up with the scripture here, and we look at verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I'll finish verse 17. But again, I don't know how to say it more or better. We have God's word. We need to stop questioning. Is this God's? It's God's word. What I found out with most people is it's not the things that they don't understand in the Bible. Well, you know, I was reading this one passage and it doesn't make sense to me. And they get into this and they start parsing these things out. And what I found out is it's not the scriptures that they don't understand that they have the problem with. It's the ones that they do understand and they refuse to follow. That's where their problem is. And you say, but the Bible says this and this and this. Yeah, but you know, over here, I was reading in Revelation and I don't understand it. This doesn't make sense, so the rest of it's not right. No, God is not obligated to teach you any more of the scriptures than what you already know and obey. Amen. We have this idea that we're over here and we refuse to learn that 1 + 1 = 2. And then we want to, what did you ask my boys about quantum physics? And then we are over here going, God, why don't you teach me quantum physics? Because you refuse to be disciplined enough to learn what 1 + 1 is. Amen. He's never going to teach you quantum physics. And frankly, even as a preacher of the gospel, I don't know that I know the quantum physics of the Bible right now. Okay, just to be fair to that statement. My point is this. I don't understand quantum physics. But I trust God that he knows what he's talking about. I trust some of those that do, and I'm speaking spiritually, that understand that. But my point is, we have to trust God's word, not blindly. Listen, we live in such a day and age. If 150 years ago somebody said, oh, you're just following the Bible blindly, when they did follow the Bible and had faith in it, there are so many books written on why we can trust that the King James is the word of God for the English-speaking people. There's so many, and I want to say this a little almost, I'm going to a conference about it so I can say this. Sometimes I almost get sick. Hey, Dr. Sorensen wrote another book on the King James issue. Do you want to read it? I'm like, no. No, I like his books, and that's why I'm not trying to pick on him, because he's got some good stuff out there. And so I do recommend his books. But there's so much information out there. There is no reason for us not to believe it unless we want to be, as the Bible says, willfully ignorant. We want to be willfully ignorant about some things. So now we get to verse 17. And it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have the word of God. We have the truth of the word of God. This isn't just, hey, I picked up this really good book and I read a book. I've read some leadership books, and some of them are and some of them are pretty good. Some of them I could recommend to you, but they're not the word of God. I glean some things. I can see how that works well. But they're not the word of God. But we have the word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The purpose of the proper use of scriptures is that the man of God may be equipped or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And as we look at this, listen, it's great that we come to Sunday school. We need to be faithful to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings you have coming up. It's great that we have books on the topic of translation. It's great that we go to a print shop and we handle the Word of God. Those things are all things that we're supposed to be doing. But when we come to this passage of Scripture, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's where I say, let the word of God do the work of God. We need the word of God in our lives doing the work of God. And I would contend, even though there was the dark ages, and even though there was all those times through history that we can look at some pretty bad times, we are in one of those bad times. We are in a time when the Bible is under attack. We're in a time, and I don't, I'm not one of these guys that believes that that America has to just go on forever with religious freedoms and our Constitution is going to stand forever. And if our Constitution falls, then the Lord has to come back. I don't necessarily believe that. We may be in for some very dark times as a country. But that doesn't change anything throughout history. Christians, you know, Christians in the Roman Empire, and Christians through the Dark Ages didn't go, wow, man, if we just had a constitution, then we'd serve God. They served God, regardless of what the leadership was doing. And some of them served God getting burned at the stake and fed to lions. Let the word of God do the work of God. I believe that the best chance that our country has, the best chance that our family has, the best chance that we have and continuing to see God's word, our ministry has, is by the people sitting right here taking God's word a little more serious.
Amen.
Now you say, oh, I take God's word pretty serious. None of us take it serious enough. Amen. So, I wish I could spend just a little bit more time studying God's word. And some of that's my own scheduling fault. I need to take the time to read those things and do those things. And okay, Pastor, I'm going from preaching to meddling. He may have to take me out of the pulpit what I'm about to say. You can spend a little less time on social media. And a little more. I have a Facebook account. I understand why it's there. I email, Pastor emailed me this afternoon about something going on and asked to pray. I think it's a great vehicle. Okay, I don't think those things are wrong. I heard one person recently say, you know, you make fun of the 80-year-old that doesn't know how to use a smartphone. He goes, maybe this 80-year-old doesn't know how to pick up a smartphone, but you don't know how to put yours down. Who's in worse shape? Mm-hmm. It's probably me. The 80-year-old probably has a more fulfilled life because he doesn't know how to pick up a smartphone and be on social media than the person over here that doesn't go, set that down. Let's look somebody eyeball to eyeball and let's have a conversation. Again, my thoughts with this, and my concern is as we talk about a ministry like ours, as we talk about going to church and those things, is that we don't just get wrapped up in the doing of it, okay? I talked about the Bible being a practical book and us being involved and us being busy, but we have to put those things in the right order, okay? Me being busy and me just doing some religious things, there's lots of religions that do that. I can go join a ton of religions. I can go join a social club, okay? And I'm not even trying to talk down about them. I'm just saying, let's not become them. Let's become folks that we understand that we need to let the Word of God do the work of God in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.